Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Appreciate the music team leading us into the worship of God. And so, everybody have a good first week of school, going back to school? Hope so. It's always a good time for the family. And, you know, I actually come from a family. I was born here in Houston. My mom was born in Texas. And my family actually has a little bit of brokenness to it. Anybody ever heard of the TV show called The Brady Bunch? I'm dating myself here a little bit. Yeah, The Brady Bunch. Okay, well, it was a family with six children, and they were a happy family together with two parents. And, you know, my family really wasn't the limb bunch. Because my mom was a believer in Jesus. In fact, she was probably one of the first Chinese worshipers here in the city of Houston back in the 1950s. She used to worship downtown at the Chinese Baptist Church back in the 1950s. I mean, I grew up there when I was a kid in the 1970s, just to let you know a little bit of my age for those of you who are good at math. And I can remember, you know, playing dodgeball out there at the Chinese Baptist Church, and we would slam the ball against the sanctuary of the church as we were playing dodgeball. Now, we don't try to do that out here. We've progressed a lot since then, but that's kind of how I grew up. And my mom was a follower of Jesus, but my dad was not. And so oftentimes, Mom would drive us downtown, drop us children off at church, and then she'd go and work in the store. Yeah, my mom worked in the store, even though she had a degree from Rice University. She still kind of worked, you know, the old Chinese, worked the grocery store, okay? And that's the environment I grew up in. So it wasn't a totally Christian home. And sometimes when I visit churches, and even when I visit the Katy Christian Community Church and I see these families who worship God together, and that produces a little bit of a longing in my heart. And I see folks up there and dad's leading worship, and then son is playing the guitar, and the whole family is leading the church worship service. And I think, oh man, that's what I would have wanted for my family of origin. But we never got to do that because there was quite a bit of brokenness in our home. And a friend reminded me that, well, Wei, that wasn't your responsibility. But now you have the opportunity. Now you can lead your own family, and maybe one day, you know, your own family will be leading the church in worship. So praise God. So that helped to shape my perspective, because I think a strong Christian family, for those of us who have trusted in Christ as our Savior, is a longing and a desire in most of our hearts. Now, we come from a variety of backgrounds. Some of you in here this morning may be the only or one of the few believers in your household. Maybe some of you came from a background where you were born in Asia and you were the first believer, and your family of origin did not have Christians among them. Or maybe you're a church child and your parents are here and they're worshiping here in this church as well. But whatever background we may come from, a healthy Christian family is a longing and desire in all of our hearts. I want to congratulate you again for finishing Ephesians with us. But for the next 8 weeks, we're going to be starting a series on the healthy Christian family. And so whether you are currently in a family that worships God together, or maybe you are not living with your family, God has something to say to each of us. If you're with a Christian family, you can apply these principles today. If you're not, God can use these messages to prepare you to lead a family one day. Or maybe you're an empty nester. And, well, we know the job of parenting is never finished, right? We're still fixing cars and doing other chores. And God may call upon you to be a mentor to some of the younger families and couples. So as we hear from God's word, He can use these next 8 messages in each of our lives. So we want to start off. We want to have a kickoff. We've had a lot of kickoffs this last week, right? And so we're going to have a kickoff here in our series on the healthy family. And we want to look at some of the real foundational starts in helping us to become a healthy Christian family. And I want us, we're going to look at Psalm 127 to lead us off. And so turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 127 as we talk about the healthy Christian family. This psalm is a song most likely written by Solomon. You can probably see that in the heading of your psalm, A Song of Ascent of Solomon. And he starts off in Psalm 127, telling us, reciting this song. Let's just read through this. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved sleep, or even in his sleep. Verse 3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Starting off here in verse 1, Solomon tells us that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Who build it? Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. And so, as we seek to understand building the Christian family, the first thing we want to take away from verses 1 and 2 is that we want to trust in God for success in all of our endeavors, including building a healthy Christian family. Now, of course, Solomon was building a healthy Jewish family, but as we are translating it today, a healthy Christian family. And Solomon here uses 2 metaphors. We were just talking about poetry in the Numbers class and how often in the Psalms we're using metaphors, and I think you guys have studied that in English already, right? The first is, he's talking about this metaphor of building a house. And the point is that we need God's help in anything that we engage in, and domestically in particular, and in building a strong Christian family. And we need God's help to build a house. Now, as we're talking about in our Bible study, what is he referring to? What is Solomon referring to? Building the house. If we look at 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, it could be that he's referring to building the house of the Lord. It came about in the 418th year, And then at the end of verse 1, chapter 6 in 1 Kings, it says that he began to build the house of the Lord. So that's one possibility, right? Second possibility, it's really easy for our Bible study methods, just turn over to chapter 7. And by the way, just a little data, at the end of chapter 6, verse 38, he was 7 years in building it. He built the house of the Lord in 7 years. Okay, chapter 7, verse 1. Now Solomon was building his own house. 13 years! Man, what a house! Man, some of us aren't even alive for 13 years. And he finished all his house. Okay? I think he's referring to chapter 7, verse 1. Because the context of Psalm 127 is more domestic affairs. So, but either way, it's okay. The point is that we need God's help in building the house, right? We're going to go out, we're going to build the house, but we need God's help. Unless the Lord is building the house, unless the Lord is behind it, our labor is in vain. So that's the first metaphor he uses. And now in verse 1b of Psalm 127, he uses a second metaphor. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Unless the Lord watches the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. So we have our second metaphor of protection and guarding the city. Now, some of you may have seen the movie Mulan, and you know that back in the old days, whether it was China or Israel, people would come and try to invade, take over the country, take over the city. And yes, it was Solomon's responsibility to train up, right? To train up the soldiers, to train up the watchmen, and make sure that they stood on the Great Wall of Jerusalem so that when those marauders came, that the soldiers wouldn't be asleep while they were trying to climb over the city walls, but they could guard them and fend them off. And so that was the responsibility of King Solomon. But even Solomon realized that no matter how well he trained his soldiers, that unless the Lord protects the city, it's useless, vain to have the guard man on the wall. And those of us who are parents know that in today's world of terrorism and guns, that yes, we want to train our children well. Just last week, Pamela got her learner's permit. And yes, I'm going to sign her up for driver's ed. Yes, I'm going to have her practice in the church parking lot when no one else is around, or maybe when some other people are around too. And yes, I'm going to take her out on the street, and I'm going to be coaching her on how to drive and make right turns and left turns. But the bottom line is that one day I'm going to hand the keys over to Pamela. I'm going to give her the keys. Whoa, what a rite of passage. And when I do that, unless the Lord guards Pamela, my driver's ed training was in vain, because ultimately he's got a protector. And those of us who have children up at UT, we know, especially with the new open carry law, yes, we've trained them up well, but it's up to the Lord to protect them. And so, as we look at building a healthy Christian family, yes, we want to do all that we can, but we must remember that it's up to the Lord. It's up to the Lord to build the house, to protect us, and to give us a healthy Christian family. So we need to trust in the Lord. Trust in God for success and protection in all of our endeavors. And yes, also as we seek and long to aspire and attain to that healthy Christian family, we need the Lord to build the house. Now, what are some practical ways that, what does that mean? What does that mean to trust in God? It's such a vague, abstract, spiritual term. I want to give you three things that help me as I think building a healthy Christian family. What are flesh this out a little bit. What does it mean to trust God to help me build a healthy Christian family or any endeavor? First, these three words just came, I think it helps me as I think of trusting God for any endeavor. First is His way. As I seek to build a house, as I seek to protect a city, as I seek to build a Christian family, I want to do things His way, not my own way. And so just this last week, Gabriel and I were putting together self-assembled chairs from IKEA. And it was 7 a.m. in the morning because Gabriel is very industrious. On a Saturday morning, he wanted to put together these chairs. And as I'm building the house, and building my family, I want to do so in God's way. But you know what? An 8-year-old and an over 25-year-old kind of have a few different standards and levels of patience in how they're going to build the chair and build the house. And so I'm always saying, you know, especially because it's 7 a.m. in the morning, I'm not very pleasant. And so I'm saying, don't do that. No, get the screw. Do this. No, you did it wrong. You know. And I have to remember, no, that's not God's way in building the house. God's way is, yes, direct, but also kind and gentle. And so as I'm building the house, I want to do things God's way. Now, we're going to have 8 messages on how building the strong Christian family. And so we're not going to go into a lot of those details today, but just to give you a preview, we're going to talk about putting aside idols and serving the Lord. We're going to talk about mom and dad, husband and wife, ruling together to build a healthy Christian family. We're going to talk about modeling the Christian life to your children and in the home. We're going to talk about praying together. We're going to talk about worshiping together. And we're going to talk about laying it all on the altar for God. So we're going to be having a lot of His ways coming towards us in the next 2 months. The second how, His glory, His way and His glory. I want to make sure that as I'm building my house, as I'm building my Christian family, that my motives are pure and that my motive is to bring honor and glory to God. And so as we just bought a new house, I wanted to make sure that my motives were pure, that yes, this bigger house will give us more margin as a family so that it will contribute to our well-being so that we can honor and serve God more effectively as a family. So as we're building our house, as we're building our Christian family, how do we trust in the Lord? We do it for His way. We do it for His glory. And we also do it by His power. We come to the realization that even in building a house, God's got to show up. In finding a house, God's got to show up. I mean, Solomon took 13 years to build his house. And so, if God doesn't show up, this move ain't going to happen. So we need to rely on God's power. His way, His glory, His power. Now, you might ask, okay, especially with the last one, does that mean that I do nothing? if the Lord is building the house, well, this is a metaphor of cause. And so, yes, no, God is using you to build the house. God was using Solomon and his workers to build the house. God will use us today also to build the house or build the strong Christian family. We don't just sit there in our prayer closet. We do, but it's not the only thing we do. We say, Lord, give me a house. Lord, give me a house. Lord, give me a house. And, you know, it's the boom, whoa, house, voila. No. We have to go on the internet, see if there's a house out there. I got to work a job, save up some money so I can pay for a new house. I have to find a credible realtor who's going to help me to find a new house. And I have to go and see the house, all right? So no, but all the while, in the process, I'm relying on God, I'm doing it His way, and I'm doing it for His glory. Another question, do I really need to trust in God to build a good, spiritually healthy family or to build a house? I think, Pastor Way, I don't think the Bible is true. I see a lot of people, they're building houses, and they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in God. You know, even Donald Trump, he's building lots of houses. And he's not doing it for God's glory. In fact, he don't put Jesus' name on his building. He put his own name on the building. So, Bible not true. You know. Well, the word here is they who labor in vain. Right? Labor in vain. And that can mean that it's not going to get built. Or it can also have that Solomonic, ecclesiastical meaning of meaninglessness, right? And so, yes, some of these pagans can build their houses, but it's not going to have the meaning that God could give to it. It will be done in vain. And how many husbands and fathers have seen that vanity can come out as they're engaging in their affairs, but not doing it by God's power and God's glory? Okay, which leads us to my next question that you may be asking. What happens if I don't? What happens if I don't trust in God to build the healthy Christian family, to build the house? Look, if you will, at verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for He gives to His beloved even in his sleep. And so what happens if you're not trusting in God in any of your endeavors, including building a strong Christian family? Unnecessary anxiety and exhaustion. All right? That's what verse 2 is telling us. And as I mentioned, how many fathers have come home with migraine headaches and ulcers because they're pursuing their business all in their own ways, all for their glory, all by their own power. How many students have exhausted themselves to raise up their GPA because they're staying up late just because they're doing it for their own honor and for their own glory and by their own power? How many moms have exhausted themselves and their children for signing them up for every knick-knack and hairy because they're trying to develop their children all on their own power and on their own way and for their own glory? And so we need to do things God's way, for His honor, and by His power, and we can see success in our endeavors, including building a healthy Christian family. Now, in verses 3 to 5, Solomon talks about the specific blessing that we need to trust God for, and that is the blessing of children. And so, verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. So we need to trust in God for the blessing of children. By the way, I forgot to mention that, you know, God, He does, when we do trust in Him, at the end of verse 2, He gives us sleep. He gives us sleep. And I don't think that the NASB translates it that well. He gives to us in His sleep. I think God, as we're trusting in Him for whatever endeavor, we're gonna sleep well. And so I had to bring that out because I did bring my prop. You know, we're gonna sleep. Got my sleeping bag here, and so now I know none of us is doing it right now. But you know, we're gonna go to sleep if you're trusting in God. Okay, go to sleep. Nobody's sleeping right now, right? You're not sleeping in the sermon, but that's part of what it is to trust in God. Okay, as we seek to build a Christian family, seek to build a house in any endeavor. And specifically, we want to trust in God for the blessing of children. So, children, first of all, are a blessing and a trust. Children are a blessing and a trust. And we see that in verse 3. Children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So they're a blessing. And the word here is inheritance or heritage. And that's what children are. They bless. And for the Israelite, children were the highest blessing that God could give to you. He says that at the end as well. The fruit of verse 3, the fruit of the womb is a reward. That word there is even used for the word like pay. And a reward, even financially. And so just by metaphor or analogy, when you have children, it's as good as or better than $1 million. Now, I only got 20, but let's just pretend this was $1 million. I was going to give you $1 million. You don't want to take it? Okay, you want to take it? Okay. All right, well, you got to give it back to me after the service, okay? Now, you want to give it back to me right now? Thank you. Okay, I might forget. Okay, so that's it. That children are an inheritance. They bring blessing to the family, a heritage. But also, with a heritage, with a heritage, there's a trust that is given to the recipient, and so the recipient needs to invest. Make good use of that $1 million. Don't just let it sit there, right? Like the parable of the talents. And so in the same way, if I give someone a child, if I give someone a child, yes, that child is a blessing to the recipient, but also the recipient has a trust, a responsibility to develop it socially, mentally, spiritually, so that it will be of good use and investment for God's glory and kingdom. So, thank you. Now, how are children a blessing, specifically in this psalm? Verses 4 and 5 tell us that They are like arrows in the hand of a warrior, and so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Now, unpacking these metaphors right here, Solomon calls children like an arrow. Now, arrows in the Psalms can be used for real physical arrows. And I'm sorry, I asked my children if we had bows and arrows, but we don't have those things. But just imagine if I have an arrow right here. It could be a real weapon, but it's also used for words in the Bible. in the Psalms. And if you look at Psalm 64, verse 4, you can see that. Verse 64, verse 4. To shoot from concealment at the blameless, suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. Verse 3 tells us, they aim their bitter speech as their arrow. So sometimes words in the psalm, especially hurting words, are used by the metaphor of the arrow. And here, I think it's probably taking that sense, because by our context, we see in verse 5 that they will not, if when you have many children, what they can do is they can advance your family's interests at the city gate. Okay? Now, if you'll remember back in the Old Testament and in the time of Solomon, and they settled all of their business and legal transactions at the city gate. If you remember, even in the book of Ruth, Joshua judges Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, if you'll turn to Ruth chapter 4, verse 1, we remember Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative whom Boaz spoke was passing by, said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. And then they talked business. So this was the Starbucks of the old day, where you transacted business. Maybe not Starbucks, maybe the boardroom. And at the city gate, you took care of your business and legal transactions. And so the more children that you had, not only did that give you more hands to work on the farm, but it gave you more spokespeople, more advocates at the city gate, and advancing your family's honor. And so, children are a blessing from the Lord. Children were a blessing in Israel society, and they are a blessing still today. All of us who have children know the joy of seeing our loved ones, and certainly those who've seen their children leave the nest can affirm that it's been a pretty good ride, hasn't it been? It's been a great blessing, and you've treasured those years. And hopefully, I myself today, I'm still a child, and my dad is 87, and even tomorrow, where I'm going to be helping him with some legal and business transactions, because, you know, as an 87-year-old, it's hard to get things done. And so we're going to go see some property that he has. So children are a blessing. Now what if you don't have children? What if you don't have children? Does that mean that you're missing, that you're not being blessed by God, that something's wrong with you? In the Old Testament and the Israelite time, that was more of the sense. That if you were barren, somehow you were under a curse of God. However, in the New Testament, and if you look in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14 to 15, we see that the emphasis is on making spiritual children, or producing spiritual fruit. And Paul talks about how they were his children in the gospel. And then in 1 Corinthians 7, it affirms the life of singleness. So for those of us who are called to a life of singleness, Paul says that that's even better in some ways, because you can undistractedly serve the Lord. So if you don't have children because you're single, or some other life situation, or maybe you're married without children, God still wants to use you to be a blessing to others in producing spiritual fruit and spiritual children. Just right now, I'd just like us to pause for a minute and just to tell God, "God, we need you to do X." And just fill in the blank. What is it that you're going to face this week that you think is just insurmountable, that you can't do it? It's not going to happen. I can't do it on my own power. it might be something in your family. It might be something at work. It might be something at school. What is it? What is that X? Lord, unless you do X, my labor will be in vain. Will you put that, fill in that blank right now and just tell God, God, you have got to show up. I need to do things your way for your fame and by your power. Otherwise, my labor is going to be in vain. And put that in the box and also put in that box, God, unless you show up, we won't have a healthy Christian family, either today or sometime in the future. Would you just take a minute right now, just take a few seconds and tell God, confess that to God and ask Him to come and show up. And God, unless you build the house, unless you guard the city, this isn't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And having a Christian family, a healthy Brady Bunch, Lim Bunch, Wong Bunch, Lee Bunch, you Bunch, whatever, ain't going to happen. You got to show up, God. You got to do it your way, your power, your fame. Will you tell God that right now? Maybe you will one day be, maybe it's your current family. Maybe it's your family for another day, 5 years down the road. Maybe it's someone you're going to be coaching or counseling in the family. So today we've seen that we need to trust in God in all of our endeavors, whatever it may be, including the endeavor of building the strong Christian family, and that particularly we need to trust in God for the blessing of children. As I mentioned, my family of origin has quite a bit of brokenness to it, and maybe yours does too. But when I was about 20 years old, which was just about 5 years ago, I began praying that God would provide a wife for me. Because I did consider living my whole life as a single because of 1 Corinthians 7, but I just didn't feel like that was God's plan for my life. I did want to get married and have children. But you know what? I knew I was good looking. I knew I was smart, intelligent. I knew I was rich. Well, maybe two out of three. But even with all these exceptional qualities to myself, I also knew that I wanted to be a missionary and spend perhaps up to 20 years of my life on the mission field. And as one woman told me, she said, ha, 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 wait, that woman is one in a million. Who would want to marry a guy who was going to live the prime years of his life in an underdeveloped country? And so I began to pray and fast once a week since I was 20 years old. And sure enough, 10 years later, so you know it was more than 5 years ago, right? 10 years later, a woman whom you all know said, yes, I will marry you. So God provided the wife. Because if God didn't do it, God didn't show up, it wasn't going to happen. A couple years later, Pamela was born. A couple years later, Daniel was born. A couple years later, Nathaniel was born. A couple years later, Gabriel was born. And we said, Lord, our quiver is full. Praise the Lord, our quiver is full. You blessed us. And there's no guarantee what any of us will turn out to be tomorrow. But by God's grace, we're trusting in Him. We're trusting in Him that He's going to build a healthy Christian family. And I hope you will trust in Him too. Let's pray together. Lord, we need you. We need you now. Pour out your grace, your marvelous grace. Whatever we're facing in our relationships, in our schools, in our work, pour out your grace. Unless you show up and we do things your way for your glory and by your power, it ain't going to happen. Pour out your grace towards us in our families, that we might honor and glorify your name as a family. And as the family of God, may we also honor your name. Amen.
Please rise. Into your family, whether it is our families, our believers or not, Lord, you adopted us and shown us the way, and we pray that we would be able to emulate you, and we would be able to, if given the chance, to raise a godly household, whether it's biological or spiritual. May you alone receive all the glory. It is through the Son and by the Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.